For June the 18th, 2021, we talk about Slipstream, some E3 announcements, and we ask you, which games have you changed your minds about the most? Welcome to Level 375. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Rocking it three style this week. Welcome back, Dennis.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah, I'm panickedly looking at the previous episode to make sure that you were actually gone last week. Sometimes I make up absences.
The picture was Knockout City. It's always nice to be welcomed back, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you were definitely here last week. I don't know what I'm thinking of. That was four of us. That was Ben.
I think it was gone for 2 weeks, Dennis, before that, so you need to welcome me back in
David
for 2 weeks.
Talk. Oh, yep. Okay, so there were four of us. It wasn't Jala. Yes, I'm thinking of 2 weeks ago. So, that's what's happening. I'm just welcoming you back twice because I only welcomed you back once the previous time, which means that the next time Jala's on, I will have to welcome her 2 to 4 times. Oh, gosh. But yeah, there goes my conversation starter. Let's break a rule here. Before we get to the news section here, just gonna ask you guys. You guys see anything cool at E3? Something you're excited about?
I think I told you yesterday when we were talking, like, oh, I need to look through E3 stories to find something to talk about tomorrow. I didn't do that, so nope.
Yeah,
and I didn't see anything interesting on Reddit, so I assume that not much has been displayed, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that look that look neat or interesting or have promise, but I think you're kind of onto something. It's weird. It's weird with it being 100% online. I've made time to watch to watch as much of the stuff as I could while I was doing other work, but. You know, the recording and playing, sometimes you can't. How about you, Dennis?
No, I mean, you know, there's still, I think we're halfway through the week, so there's still time to ruin this. But I feel a strange sense of relief that nothing extremely compelling for PS5 that is not going to be on other platforms has come out yet.
That is so weird. So
I can continue to drag my feet on that console.
Yeah,
well... You don't have much of a choice, right? They're just not out right now.
Right.
So... No, I'm not having sex because I'm waiting for marriage, Ben.
Volcel. Volcel. So it's that is so weird. Somebody remarked that because they announced that Godfall, the character action game Godfall, was getting a PS4 version. Technically, the PlayStation 5 after E3 has one fewer yes. exclusives than what it began with, which is extremely bizarre.
That's
laughed so hard when I saw that.
Yeah, which on one hand, it's a little unfair because Sony didn't technically have a dedicated show, whereas Microsoft did. So the direct comparison is not necessarily apt. Sony did their show a little earlier. God, Play Has No Limits, does it?
Just a status update. Yeah. Yeah. They're still going with Play Has No Limits.
Yeah. Still well. Yeah.
So I will say overall with E3, I was lamenting with another friend about just what a dressed up market research event it is.
Yeah,
like it's all, hey, this is going to come out in 2 years. Hope you think this is cool, and if not, we'll completely, you know, retrofit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll read your theories and change it, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're going to put out this compelling trailer, and then use all the fan theories to finish the story.
Yeah, sometimes it feels that way. It's just hard. It's really hard to get excited for stuff in 2022. You know. Kind of, but especially because there's just lots of good stuff that is already out now that I'm still playing. You know, I don't feel necessarily deprived or anything, but it's still fun to to watch it and feel like you're taking part of something and tweet your snarky remarks and whatever. But yeah,
it, you know, there's lots of new content to browse on the internet, which
the sites change. There's new stuff on them.
Mm-hmm. So I can feel less bad about constantly visiting them.
How about non E3 stuff? What's going on, Ben?
I just got done with a busy week of work, I think yesterday, kind of. So I have a newfound freedom, I guess. Mm. I might go for a run after the podcast, that sort of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So nothing outside of that. Just feeling nice to be relaxed right now.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. I had a very dark thought. I was about to say, go out and get a run while you can when there's no wildfires. That sounds like a joke. I'm actually not.
September.
Will it be September? I've lost all sense of time. I really hope that doesn't happen as bad this year as it did.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this on air last time or not, but like my exit plan is like go visit my cousin who lives in Denver because you can get cheap plane tickets.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but that's a very weird. I don't know if I mentioned this in this conversation or not, but then that's like a weird way to solve a problem that's very like localized, where it's like, oh, I'm going to hop on a jet that produces a bunch of carbon to fix this problem that's caused by global warming.
Yeah. And, you were talking about that when we were playing, a game last night. You mentioned that. Oh, well, but yeah, finished up a tough week of work. Well, that's mm-hmm. good. Yeah. How about you, Dennis?
Always plenty of fun stuff going on in our household. Most recently, Barrett has started sitting up.
Nice.
Which is fun. You just kind of plop him in a corner. He's in that unique stage where you can sit him somewhere and he does not leave that spot.
Okay. that'll be a fun 3 months.
Yeah.
Not even three months. He'll start if he can start crawling. I forget the order that it happens. Does sitting up happen before crawling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Generally.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll be figuring that out in no time. I'm
so
sure.
That'll be a good 3 weeks at most. Yeah.
Yeah, he's right at the beginning of it. So it's like I can put you here. I know you won't move, mm-hmm. but you might face plant at any second. So
and so we're gonna set up this
at the ready.
We're gonna set up this camera so we can make a meme out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, or just make sure that everything around you is reasonably soft. And, he's the third kid. He bounces. We're over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's been fun.
Nice.
How involved do like Luke and Milo get with like, I don't know, like hanging out with them or like, I don't know, dad stuff for lack of a better word?
Yeah. Yeah. they're all about it. I think they're both old enough at this point that they don't really see him as competition.
Yeah.
Which is great. And so they're all about teaching him. Luke is actually one of the best at getting him to laugh.
Oh, really?
He's very proud of that.
That's cool.
He's also very proud that he has been spit up on the least. So Barrett pukes like a fountain.
Do you guys have a leaderboard? What do you have?
Yeah. Well, he works it into conversations. Like, I don't know what's going on in his head, but when he's talking to some new person about Barrett, he's like, yeah, I'm a big brother. I love doing all that stuff. And I don't get puked on at all. I never get puked on. Congratulations, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the amount I get puked on, I can understand being happy that it doesn't happen to
me. Right, right. You wouldn't wish it on somebody, but
I wouldn't lead with it, though.
Are there any, like, defenses for this? Do you just have, like, hand towels on you at all time to, like...
Yeah, a ton of spit rags, and then you learn to hear the gurgle when it's low down, and I swear it's like suddenly realizing you're holding a bomb. You like whip him to face outward or away from you or what have you. But you know, for all our best efforts, there we have a lot of hardwood in our house, and for all our best efforts, there are just spots that we miss getting all the puke up, and you'll be walking by the next day or a week later or God knows how long later, and be like, oh, it looks like a bird pooped there. I should probably clean that up.
Yeah, no court would convict you. You have a baby. It's not, there's nothing you can do.
Oh, yeah. It's actually a great smokescreen for being messy.
Ooh.
Like, you know, Jen and I are both just not very clean people. We're very messy people. And we've made our peace with this, and like, we have our coping mechanisms. But when you've got a baby in the house, it is carte blanche.
Oh, yeah. Oh, total impunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
What about you?
I don't have too much happening. Honestly, just a whole bunch of work, which is fine. I'm excited. This will be the second to last episode I record here in the blanket room, because a couple Fridays from now I'm actually having the painters come and do this, do the two new studios. I'm excited.
So this is Studio 3.0 then?
I mean, so I forked the source. So okay. it was one studio, and then I broke it out into work studio and also work, but it's streaming and VR and exercise. Okay. The exercise isn't work. It's just I can ride the bike while I play PC games in the other room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm excited because the streaming room, it's going to be Abject Suffering Red. And then this one in here is going to be the Duck Feed brand color, that kind of indigo gray color that is the standard one, which is nice. Follow-up
question. You said that this was the blanket room. Why is it called the blanket room?
Well, the blanket room, it's called the blanket room because it doesn't make any sense for me to hang up any kind of soundproofing. My foam panels, because I would just waste some 3M command strips, and those are relatively costly. I didn't even mean to buzz market them, but they are good. So I have in front of me a blanket thumbtacked to the wall. It's a queen size blanket, okay. So it takes up the entire wall, most of it anyway. It's a small room, and then behind me I have a bunch of beach towels tacked up. If you remember last week when I screamed, "Dottie, for the love of God, what are you doing?" it's because Dottie was climbing up the blanket wall in front of me.
That's awesome.
She's gotten less. She's not tried to climb that. It was just really funny because she got to the top and she obviously had no exit plan because it was very much just instinct that drove her up there. She saw a climbable surface and was like, I'm going to go to if the ceiling was on fire, she would have still climbed to the top of it.
I've made a tiny, horrible mistake.
And a creature as tiny as her can only make tiny, horrible mistakes. Yeah. So that's what's happening. Just the internal home improvement stuff can settle down and I'm going to be able to, like, I don't know, finish up my spring cleaning, clean out some closets, just all of the boring stuff you get excited but about.
It never ends, right? There's not like a checklist where you like finally check off the last item. It's just like, it's like an infinite queue of things to do, right?
Right. It's a first in, first out kind of thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of my next improvements are going to be things that I do outside. Like I actually need to get my yard to be not mostly weeds, which is hard to do. I've got to put up a fence outside and all that. So that is easier to deal with because it doesn't involve losing access to a whole room, you know?
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just that boring stuff. Yeah. So I think that we should talk about games, and I think we should do the regular kind of show that we have, what with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. Any objections?
Nope. You passed the test.
Yep. I always hesitate. Yeah. Why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about the games we've been playing over the past period of time or so. Let's look on here. Dennis, I'm going to have you go first.
Yeah, sure. I've been playing a lot more of the one game that did have immediate content as of all the E3 stuff, which is Trackmania.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they, I'm sure there are others that I didn't pay attention to them. So they got a little spot on the pre-show for Ubisoft, which is great because it's kind of the little game that could. Mm-hmm. And they are doing a bunch of cool stuff. They announced a new mode. So they, well, I guess this is not surprising. Like every game on the planet Earth have announced a Royale mode.
Okay.
That's playable now. And it's interesting because, you know, Trackmania, there's... It's very, very time attack focused. Even when you're racing multiplayer, there's no collision between the cars. It's purely who can go the fastest. And so translating that to a fun kind of lighter Royale experience was interesting. Basically every map that you play, you're all in teams of three and there's whatever, 60 people total. And then there's like, five different versions of the map. There's like a really easy version, and then each iteration gets more and more difficult up till the fifth and hardest, which is like virtually impossible. Like you have to be perfect to get it right. Mm-hmm. And you are kind of just racing to get through as many of those as you can in 2.5 minutes, which is fun. And it's you feel like you accomplish something every time you cross a finish line. So you're going to get a couple little dopamine hits no matter what before you get to the harder stuff. And then if one of your teammates crosses the finish line before you, after a set amount of time, you can hit a button to join them on the next track. So you can kind of get carried through a track that you're having trouble with. And it's just, the bottom four teams, who have gone through the least checkpoints, at the end of the 2.5 minutes are dropped. And then, the team that captures the most after every round, is the winner.
Sounds like sounds like it's structured like Fall Guys.
It is Fall Gears.
I was gonna say, it does sound like a battle royale game, since you can have one person who's really, really good and hard carry the rest of the team.
Yes. that has always been the case, even in their more traditional, multiplayer stuff. So yeah, I mean, I dabbled with it. It was a lot of fun. The thing that made it extremely interesting right now, though, is all the tracks featured their two new surfaces. So, a big part of Trackmania is creating tracks, and it's all pre-made tile sets that you're working with that are, there's like dirt surface or road surface or grass surface, etc. So they debuted plastic surface and water surface.
Oh, okay. Which, so like for hydroplaning?
Really interesting.
How does water surface work? How deep is this water?
Apparently you can stack them to make it as deep as you want. But kind of the gimmick is that if you're going fast enough, you'll kind of skip along the top like a stone.
Yeah, hydroplaning.
Skips. So, and you can control while you're skipping and kind of change your trajectory, but then you're kind of bouncing along in the air and don't have a ton to do. And then if you go too slow, you'll kind of sink down into the water progressively, which might be what you want to do if, the checkpoint is down there or I don't know what. Part of the intrigue is, like, what people are going to do with it. But they're
underwater?
Really? They're what?
Can you do underwater racing?
Yes, you can continue racing underwater.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're less intuitive than the other stuff. Like, a roadblock kind of feels like driving on a road, and a dirt block kind of feels like driving on dirt. It's like, what does, how do I visualize driving on plastic? What should I expect when I do that? And they're kind of further away. I've never driven my car skipping over water before. Unfortunately, it's on my bucket list.
It's pretty scary. It sucks, not going to lie.
Yeah. A hydroplane, that does suck.
Yeah.
So water and plastic, so they're covering all the surfaces of the ocean.
Yeah, right. I can't wait for that map. Maybe I'll have to make that. But yeah, so it's much more like, with the other stuff, I didn't really think about the trains. You just jump in and start racing on them, and you kind of get intuitively what it's going to be like. Mm-hmm. These ones take a lot more screwing around, and all of these Royale maps are kind of based on them, and so it is very difficult surfaces with towards the end very difficult checkpoints, and everyone's just flailing all over the place, and it's a funny good time.
Nice.
Which is great.
Yeah.
The third thing that they added, which I don't know what to think about yet, is the they added animated, like, moving items.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a pretty competitive game, and previously everything was static. Like, nothing in the game but your car moved. And that, you know, the physics were incredibly deterministic and consistent. And so it was all about kind of optimizing your line and all that stuff. Now they've got all these kind of mini golf esque windmills and turbines and spinning gates and stuff in the game. Pistons.
That's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels like a violation of that kind of competitive bent. So we'll see. You know, there hasn't been uproar in the community or anything, but I'm kind of waiting. The next set of maps comes out in just over 2 weeks as of this mm-hmm. recording. And I'm just waiting for everyone to freak out when they're all kind of these silly, you know, got to hit the gate, right? Got to go through the windmill kind of maps that, like, the first time someone crashes because they were too far ahead of their personal best and, you know, they got to the windmill before it was open, people are going to rage. So that one seems like a head scratcher. I think someone on their strategy team said they needed to be more like Fall Guys, as you mentioned. And
right.
They kind of put in a bunch of stuff for it. My guess is that the track building community, outside of, like, just maps that are supposed to be fun and random, but, like, the competitive scene will probably largely ignore this stuff. That's my prediction. We'll see what happens.
Kind of seems like something that creators, if there's that polarized of a reaction, that's something that they would kind of, like, tag and say whether or not those pieces are present.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I expect that.
Rocket League ran into a similar issue where they kind of had, like, wackier tracks that they would put side by side with the regular ones, but then, like, after enough time, they kind of, like, separated them. So if, like, you play the game proper, you're playing on a very regulated, like, box course, and, like, all the wacky maps are in the casual mode.
Yeah. And, I don't begrudge them any of that. Like, I think the kind of having a more fun and wacky mode and having more fun and wacky surfaces and items, like, that will draw people in. And I think the player base has tripled since I started playing. If you look at the number of people in the daily tournament, at least. So, you know, that they're doing something right and making it feel that much more accessible for someone who's not, you know, been playing it for 15 years and knows every nuance of controls. I'm all for it. The one head scratcher is the animated stuff, the moving stuff.
Yeah.
So that is a large part of what I've been playing. I mentioned just over 2 weeks left on the current set of tracks. So I'm, like, grinding out to get the highest medal on all of them. That is a unique version of fun, we'll say. I find myself kind of just getting into a flow state with it. And it's like, I've been driving this one track, trying to perfect this corner for 40 minutes and just thinking about something completely else while I'm doing it. This is wonderful. Like, I love this.
That's almost exactly like real driving. Eventually, yeah. You just stop, realize. you don't realize you're doing it.
Way more crashing and resetting.
Yes, hopefully, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then I have also been playing Knockout City.
Dodgeball.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got to join me there. It is a blast. Mm. And I think I hit level 100 earlier this week, which, you know, it's all dumb battle pass stuff. So that number doesn't mean anything except I've played a lot. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing more ranked mode stuff, which is like, it feels like people are starting to understand the game better. And when you jump into a game with random people, you can kind of count on them to play at least, you know, with certain basic strategies. So to be passing or trying to flank and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
My other point of reference in hyper-competitive games is, like, a League of Legends and stuff like that, where, you know, people expect you to know your role and play your role. And this isn't anywhere near as codified as that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is to the point where it's like, all right, I expect you to know to do this and not that in this situation. And generally people do.
Do you see that heading in the direction of being more codified?
Do you think
I don't think there will be specific team roles, but I think people will know, like, if I don't have a ball and, you know, XYZ is happening, I need to be doing ZYX.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, I basically the mantra that you see in all the Discord and stuff is like, you pass, you win. Just pass the ball around. That
yeah.
charges up your shot. It keeps it moving. Confuses people. Pass and win. And people will post like they're either a high score for passing, like look at this stat, I passed 173 times in this game, or they'll post stats of like, look, my teammates collectively passed 3 times over the course of this game. So yeah, there's stuff like that that's kind of codifying. It still feels very accessible though.
That's good.
I do like that cooperation's like built into the gameplay, where it's like that's the winning strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And it, you know, I think I mentioned the last time I talked about it that because there is, you can't just like have better mechanical skills and be the crazy Twitch flick super sniper guy and kill everyone. Yeah. You have to be a good teammate.
Yeah.
And that's cool to see reinforced in just the way that people play.
Nice.
I like how consistently in game design, like that's how they like have to force good behavior is give you no option but to do the right
thing. Yeah. Well,
yep.
Players are stubborn. So that,
they are. Yeah. And there's, you know, there are, you run into the player every now and again that thinks they're the hero. They spend a lot of time dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Cause you probably won't see them in the game for very long. The interesting thing is they're switching out some of the core modes. So since the game launched, it's been 3v3 team matches is kind of the standard. And I think in a couple days here, they're going to switch over to 4v4. So same maps, just more people on them and a higher score cap, per round. And that'll be really interesting because, things already feel fast paced and hectic with 3 people on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess 6 people total on the map, adding 2 right. more is going to be ridiculous for a while. So, a high chaos week headed our way when that rolls out.
Nice.
Yeah. So nothing super new. But I've been having a ton of fun with those games that I talked about, and that's been me.
Cool. See? Ben, I will throw you. Oh, go ahead.
I had a question though. Which is harder to dodge, baby puke or dodgeballs in this game?
Oh man. I will say that Barrett has a way better pump fake than anyone in the game. So baby puke.
Oh god, baby awesome. Pump fake.
Yeah, I'll do mine and that'll segue into yours, Cole.
Yeah.
I played Slipways a little bit this week. It's still good. I'm starting to do the campaign. I finished the first one and got to the second one. It's not bad, but it's kind of like, it's kind of meh. It's just like an added difficulty on top of the regular game.
Right.
So what I've noticed is like the strategy is you just burn happiness and you don't give a shit about your score. It's like, I just got to complete this objective. So
again, that is so bleak. You just burn happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't care if this planet wants people, it's going to produce crop no matter what.
Right. Technically, right.
Happiness is a renewable resource, right?
That's a question for the philosophers.
We'll have to start a philosophy podcast to talk about that, I guess. Is there a finite amount? I had a friend, this is a tangent. I had a friend who firmly believed that there is a finite amount of happiness in the world. And so that if you became more happy, you were, the only way that you could do this is like take happiness away from other people.
That gets down. I don't know if this is an actual sect that I read about or if it's something from a fantasy book, but like that idea taken to its logical extension leads to it being the only logical thing to do would be to maximize your suffering, or the only ethical thing to do would be to maximize your suffering so that other people, it could go to other people. Right. So that's how you get like flagellants and stuff.
Huh.
Ooh. So
Buddhism in a nutshell then?
Not necessarily, I don't think. I think that is more that is more about self-perfection than about any idea of a conservation of, let's say, utility, joy, any of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could be speaking out of my ass about this. That is a familiar idea, also it's I don't agree with it. I think it is wrong.
yes. Anyway, I forget what we were talking about initially, but the game that I played this week. Oh yeah, I'm not going to talk about Slipways Away. The game, yeah. The game that I played this week was It Takes Two. Me and Cole finished it.
We did.
We ended it.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we got a divorce. They did not.
Oh no,
they did not allow that option.
But, no. I mean,
this is just a continuation from like what we've said for the past few weeks, where it's like it. The entire subtext of the game is like, yeah, you can force happiness if you just stay together.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just do it.
It's a really juvenile idea, concept about divorce. And mm-hmm. just the kind of the understanding is no relationship should end for any reason ever. And mm-hmm. if there's something wrong, it's because you're not trying hard enough.
Yep.
So with the whole kind of thing in perspective, is it kind of written from the idea like this is a universe where divorce doesn't exist, or it is like, yeah, totally, we acknowledge this would be an option for them and we're saying it's always bad?
I was gonna say they begin by wanting a divorce and like telling their kid like almost by accident that they're gonna get split up. Like that's the inciting event. So divorce definitely exists here. I just think that I think that it just takes a, like, I'll repeat myself, a very juvenile view.
So what I'm guessing here is that they just like didn't focus on the story at all, because like the game is good, the gameplay is really good,
yeah,
and like the art in the game is great, the mechanics are great, like all that is like pretty tip top. Mm-hmm. It's just that, and like, and think about like the cutscenes in the game are like bookend the game. There's like a cutscene at the beginning to introduce characters, there's a cutscene at the end to wrap it up, mm-hmm. but there's like not much in between.
Yeah.
So I think they probably planned it from like the stages like outward, and then at the end of it they were like, I guess we gotta, you know, like make this story kind of work and slap on these beats. But
yeah.
But it seems like such a surprise from A Way Out, where that was like so story driven and mm-hmm. and the thing I was telling you about yesterday when we finished the game is like the end of that game is so impactful, and like you care about the characters, like whoever you played as, you know, and you have such an attachment, where it's like here, it's like, you're like, this is, I mean, I guess you're rooting for them to not get, you know, I guess you're rooting for them to not stay together. And so in that sense, maybe you care about their well-being, but it's like anti what the game is saying. So it's very weird.
The thing I was rooting for was for them not to die still as toys, so that their kid would need to deal with that. Like, you know, being a child of divorce is preferable to being an orphan, one feels. You know, would be a conclusion that I would draw. No, I was rooting for them to stay alive.
The other thing that was a weird development with this, like the last chapter, is like the settings, like up until this point the settings have been kind of, you know, you kind of start outside and far away from the house where the dolls are, and you're kind of like working your way back to the house. And they do a good job with the first few settings when you get back into the house, where there are things that are trying to reflect on like the relationship. For example, there's one setting where it's like a snow setting where you're like trying to warm things up. And that's supposed to like reflect like having a cold relationship and trying to make that better.
And it's the setting is inside of a snow globe. You know, obviously magically expanded, etc., and made into like a place for them to like run around in. But like that is where it is, like logically inside the diorama that's inside the snow globe. Continue, Ben.
Yeah, but the setting choices that they had for like the last quarter of the game felt really weird, like not meaningful at all, kind of random. And I was trying to think about this, like literally the last mini game you play before the end of the game is like manning a DJ booth to get glow sticks to dance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the last, like outside of walking, that's the last like gameplay.
No. It feels anticlimactic.
It's like completely independent of like what's been going on in the rest of the game, and completely independent of like what's going on narratively with like any like sort of the relationship stuff or family dynamics. So the gameplay was good, don't get me wrong, like mm-hmm. that part was cool, and like, you know, it's very creative and yeah. all that part was good. It just didn't really work narratively.
By the end, I could feel them having run out of ideas is a little bit of the thing. That like the gimmicks in the last two sections that we did like last night, they were not as good or as kind of like well thought out, I felt like, as the earlier okay. ones.
I enjoy it. Like, okay, so this is just like full spoilers. And sorry, if you're going to play the game, maybe skip ahead. Okay, so one of the maps that we played was like a dad rock themed, like 80s band, like roadie type thing, where you find out one of the characters was in a band like earlier in their life and they were a singer. And so it was this really weird, bizarre setting where you're like, you're going on all these instruments that are really well done. It's like, you know, like a drum set or a guitar or a piano and stuff like that. And like they're interactable and they're using the mechanics that you've done in the game. So I thought all that part was like well integrated. But again, it just like clangs so hard, like narratively, yeah. where it's like, why am I in this like 80s dad rock band setting now?
I mean, like even more basic than that, like the stuff that it gave us to do, like the unique little gameplay gimmicks for that. What mm-hmm. my character could sing, and so I could do like a little blast to like yeah. activate something, and yeah. And I could, if I held the button, it would do like a little sing that like made things nearby rise or whatever. Like it was very yeah. like it was not as like logical as some of the stuff that it should have previously. And you had yeah. like a symbol on your back, like a drum symbol that mm-hmm. you could use as a shield or like throw. And
Captain America style.
Yeah. yeah yeah and like the puzzles and the combat weren't really that integrated and stuff.
Yeah,
as they had been before.
That way, like comparing that to the space section or like the tool section, the very first section.
Yeah,
like those are kind of heads and shoulders above that in terms of like having interesting game mechanics and having really good puzzles to play against that.
Yeah.
But the art style is still good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's just weird. But yeah, it again, like it clangs so hard narratively. Like you never really find out like how the wife sings too, or it's like kind of like an aria type singing,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't match the setting at all.
It's hilarious because like you feel the idea is that she's being forced to sing because the last two chapters are about the two of them pursuing some kind of independent passion, you know, just which something that they had to give up because they started. You know, because they entered this frankly toxic relationship, and for the husband it's gardening and for her it's singing, and you know it's actually done really well where, you know, she's really dreading singing in front of an audience again, you know, because there's all kinds of shame associated with it that it was let go for so long and she just doesn't know if she still has it in her, etc. And then you put together all of the all the stuff for the show and she gets up there and it's hilarious because they don't want to pick a genre for her to like for the band for her to have been in, so it's just a bunch of
oh no
yeah.
I'm imagining like the scene from Step Brothers
kinda. it's just like non-distinct vocalization and it's rough stuff to me.
The game was just like all over the place, I think, like story wise. And like some of the beats are really good. The mm-hmm. elephant beat, totally on board. Thought that was well executed. But like, yeah, they just need, I don't know if they changed writers between A Way Out and this one, but it definitely feels that way because yeah. it's like completely different focuses or completely different levels of focus on the narrative throughout the game.
I mean, and you stated something earlier, this one is so much more play forward than than A Way Out, which is
yeah.
which is something like it's a choice to make. I'm mm-hmm. I'm generally down with that side of it. I like the variety and creativity that it has while also yeah. still believing that they could have cut about a third of the game and it would have been a lot better. But I say yeah. that about everything, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, like, as it stands, I think it's a 12-hour game or so. I think that's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
On the news. And
right.
It didn't need to be that long, but I could understand the pressure on their side where it's like, all right, it needs to be, you know, X hours for it to
yeah,
work.
Yeah. It's published by EA. It's hitting a price point, and there's all kinds of pressure. That makes sense.
Yeah. So again, I can't say enough how much like the mechanics and like the art style of like all the levels is like really tip top. It's like beautiful. I'm trying to think of a comparison. Yeah, it's like similar. I would like, this is a high bar. I would say it's similar to Naughty Dog in terms of like the level of detail they pay attention to in each of the environments. And there's like so much to explore that they don't force you to do, you know, like you might just a critical path. You just go forward and go through a door, but you could stop and like look around and you could find a Terabang red button that doesn't really seem to do anything for some reason, but it's there. So, you know,
the mini games are fun. I got to get destroyed by you at chess. You let it time out, but it was bad. Man.
Nah. I played chess with a coworker today and I got destroyed too. So I know how it feels.
I just have never I've never been good at chess. It just, my brain just doesn't work like that.
And they had a weird swing game where you go farther if you let go at the bottom of the arc and just go directly forward instead of like going at an angle upwards.
It's really awkward. It's really weird. It looks like you're doing a long jump, right? So you want to you would want to let go at 45 degrees when your upward and forward velocity are matched. So you can go, but it's more of like a long jump and slide. So all that matters is your forward momentum.
Really bizarre.
Yeah.
But fun. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So final verdict with everything in view, is this a game you should play with your spouse?
Yeah.
Absolutely. As the game creator says, it can save people's relationships. Oh, God.
For fuck's sake, man.
No, it can't do that. But it's fun to play.
Yeah. Like, I would play this, you know. I'm happy that I got to use it as a time to spend, you know, as a way to spend time with a friend. You know, I would definitely say like play this thing, especially because it's, you know, it has that friend pass thing where only one person needs to own it. I would definitely like make this a recommendation at price, whatever, but I can see this being added to the Xbox Game Pass, you know, EA Play.
Did their other game show up there?
Yes. Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes it a virtual certainty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can, you know, it'll probably be a little bit because they want everybody who's going to buy it to buy it. But like, you know, do I think this is worth somebody's time? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and like I will 100% play like their next game. You know what I mean? Like even though there's like complaints about the narrative, it was still an enjoyable experience overall. Yeah. Which I guess that even says even more about how good the game mechanics are, where it's like, yeah, this part's fun. Who cares about this weird, weird narrative story that's going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, so, okay. And then final, like a question I have, how do you rank then the three games that they have between It Takes Two, A Way Out, and Brothers?
I would say Brothers, It Takes Two, and then A Way Out.
From bottom to top or top to bottom?
Top to bottom. So Brothers at the top. And then It Takes Two in the middle, A Way Out. It's just a matter of liking the play a little bit more. And you just kind of I think that It Takes Two and Brothers are more unique, even with the than a Way Out, which is kind of the David Cage interactive movie style thing, with the multiplayer stuff. That said, I don't dislike any of them. It's just I think that, you know, I'm prizing mechanical stuff and you know, I guess variety more than anything.
Yeah, I think I'm A Way Out, Brothers, than It Takes Two.
They're all interesting at the very least.
Yeah, very unique catalog. And again, like kudos to the friend pass. Great way to do it. Even if you think this game's too expensive, just split it with a friend and play it that way.
There's also the reality that nobody else is doing exactly this too.
Yeah,
you know, so like that feels a I'm not intending to damn them with faint praise, but you know, that does count. That does count for something if you have somebody that you play games with, either locally or you want to hang out with somebody over Discord. Like, you know, other stuff is not going to be like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I got my thoughts out there. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about It Takes Two? About Set a Way Out?
We covered it. Where'd you come down on the book? I think I'm pro book by the end of the game.
No, fuck him.
Still anti book.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't burn that book.
As soon as you see him as an agent of chaos, you can kind of enjoy him a little bit more.
No, chaos is bad.
At the end, they gift it to a couple they're friends with. They feel use some self improvement.
Oh god,
that triggers me again. I'm gonna spoil some more. It's like there's like a line of it where they're like, "Where did you get this book?" Because the daughter had it. She's like, "Oh, like someone threw it in the garbage at school, so I got it out." And they're like, "Even trash can be good sometimes."
Why are you going to bat for trash? What are you saying? Like, I understand that the husband and wife are trash. They're not good people. Oh my goodness.
All right, that's all I got though. Have you played anything else this week, Cole?
Yeah, so it's been co-op time for me, because I did that with you, and I've been for the past couple weeks on stream for Hexcrank. I've been playing Resident Evil 5 with Jala. I'll wait until we're on together to talk about it more. And I very recently talked about Resident Evil 5 on WoF. We covered that on WoF this past October. But it's the first time that I've played it co-op, and I have to say, you know, yes, it is it's axiomatic, right? Stuff is always going to be better co-op generally. That has been the case. I was already, you know, I was fair to middling on RE5. I don't think, you know, I don't think it's the absolute pits, but also it is probably at the bottom of the Resident Evil series for me. It has been fun playing it with Jala and also streaming it and clowning on the story.
Yeah. It is like tough to have a follow-up to RE4, right? Like no matter what, it was not going to be as good. So,
right. And also, you know, thinking about it again in context, not to damn it by faint praise, but nothing else was really doing that exact kind of co-op at that point. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gears of War, although that was more dedicated, you know, towards competitive stuff. I don't know when Army of Two came out, stuff like that. So it was, at the very least, you know, something special. And getting to play it like that for the first time is neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to see part of the stream. I think I saw the boss battle, the one like black thing, black gooey thing.
Oh yeah, the one we couldn't kill.
You're gonna have to narrow it down.
I confused everybody with every anime ever, but
yeah, no, the Ouroboros zombie that we had trouble killing because the signaling is really bad when you're doing damage to
game
it
than you guys, I think. But
it was just, you know, impossible to tell if you were doing any kind of damage to it. Right,
but I like Jala's approach, which is just flame through it forever, and then it'll eventually die.
Yep, eventually, yeah.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. The other thing that I've been playing is related to a news story that I have for later, but I pulled out Rocksmith 2014 again. Ooh. Just because it had been a little while since I'd really done any guitar playing. And boy, building your calluses back up is painful. Everything is pain right now on the tips of my left fingers. And it's funny that even though it has been a long time since I dedicated any time to practice, how much some of it does still come back to you. Old songs that I knew I can still kind of play. So that's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's nice. What are your go-to guitar songs to play?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's some of that, although a lot of it's is too difficult. I'm I do a decent My God is the Sun. Some parts of I Appear Missing I can do, but like nice. weirdly the verse on that is way more difficult for me than any of the solos. but like a bunch of easier stuff. So like Tom Petty's Last Dance with Mary Jane, Arctic Monkeys, Are You Mine. It's tough. I would need to like actually go in and look at my list of like mastery or whatever. But yeah, I tend to play music that I like listening to. So
yeah. Nice.
How do you feel about the announcement that the game is coming back as a subscription to this game?
That's my story.
Don't answer that.
Yeah, that's my new story.
Tune in to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been fun. Yeah, and that's nice. That's all I got.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it, Dennis. What did you ask the nice people?
Yeah, I wanted to hear how open they were to changing their mind, and asked what is the most your opinion has changed on a game, either over the course of a playthrough or upon returning to it. And this is specifically for better or for worse, so it can go in either direction.
Yeah. Something appreciating in value over time or depreciating in value over time. Can I ask you a question? Why do you have an image of Super Metroid here? Are you trying to be provocative?
Because you change your mind.
What?
Too cerebral.
What? Because shooting Mother Brain. Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, Mother Brain.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry, took
me. That one was just for me.
That was a way Homer. I thought you were being provocative there. Like, okay, dude, you come and you bring in some heat against Super Metroid.
No, I should have thought of that before I picked the image. I have not played the game, so I absolve myself of any commentary there. It's just a mind that changes.
Yeah. Greg writes saying, so I know in the past multiplayers I've mentioned two games I went from I'm going to hate this to I love this, with Kingdom Hearts and Metal Gear Solid. For this one, I'll go the other way around. Elder Scrolls Daggerfall. I've always been as much of a PC gamer as well as a console gamer, and Daggerfall was heavily hyped in the magazines of the day, as well as word of mouth. It took self-control in my spending to save the money to buy it. It came out in 96 when I was in college. Playing it though, I was crushed. It was a buggy mess, almost playable on my current system, and a lot of it was just a chore to play. The little fun that I had when I started was crushed after I lost my save files for the second time. Later patches helped, but not a ton. Worst game buy of my life. I almost passed on Morrowind due to the bad taste in my mouth, but after my roommate played it, I was convinced to go get it. Here was the game Daggerfall had promised to be. So I've been a big Elder Scrolls fan ever since. So that's a 180 on the on a series as opposed to an individual game itself.
Mm-hmm. My answer will be in this format as well.
Yes. And I can definitely see that. It would be, I don't know, Morrowind is just such a different beast, you know, even in like design intent compared to Daggerfall. I can see that being a that difference being enough to make or break it for you. Let's see, Ben, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, Resident Evil 7, I saw it in previews and thought it looked terrible. Got it as a gift. I was not going to buy it because it turned me off so much. When I started, I got about 2 minutes into the first gameplay bit and hated it. This isn't Resident, was my first thought. After an hour or so, I was in love. It is a perfect continuation of survival horror.
Agreed.
Nice.
High five. Yeah. Mm-hmm. RE7 is just so different. You know, I honestly felt a little bit of that way when I saw RE4 for the first time. I was like, this is not what I love. And like, oh, this is a different thing, but it's also, I mean, it's different, but I still like it. It's still good. Yeah. Let's see. Dennis, what does Rookie say?
Rookie says, I went into Sekiro with nothing but goodwill for the game. I love the OG Soulsborne games. I had really fond memories of playing the various Tecmo games over the years. I even pre-ordered it because how could this game possibly go wrong? I love the stealth portions of Sekiro and pushed myself through the way overtuned, not really fun boss fights. There were some rough patches, but the game still had its from Halo, from the developer.
Mm-hmm.
Then I made it to the Owl Prime boss fight and got stuck there for nearly a month. Oh, that hurts to read. I'm talking 80 plus attempts of whittling down the boss for 5 minutes, followed by one mistake getting me killed, then farming up more supplies to try again, and later just save scumming. Eventually, I killed the boss, but I didn't feel any exhilaration from overcoming the challenge or even any relief. I still had Demon of Hatred and Sword Saint Ishin to go. Instead, I had an epiphany. I fucking hated this game. I turned it off, deleted my save, and have never turned it back on. Hell, I'm not even going to pick up Elden Ring until I get a few reviews from trusted reviewers. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, we'll do our best. And I can see...
I don't know, you guys might play it, you might not.
Yeah. And I can see this... we may or may not play it. Yeah, I understand that reaction to Sekiro. Yeah. Also, I'm going to do some real life modding. Nobody post get good on any of our channels. There's somebody who responded to that with get good and then said and then said, "Oh, they also noped out of it." But I don't like I don't like that meme. It is gatekeepery. So, yeah. And also, no hard feelings. You had no way of knowing that. It wasn't a posted rule or anything.
I have watched or engaged with Sekiro a criminally small amount for mm-hmm. being kind of the next step for someone who likes the series. My only experience was, I think it might have been during a duck stream, of one kind or another, watching someone stream it and die on literally the same staircase.
Yep.
For probably 30 minutes. And I was just like, I don't understand. Like,
it's a lot. It's too much for me a lot of the time.
You just gotta stick with it, guys.
Yeah.
There's light at the end of that tunnel.
That's the case in others.
I've never played this game, by the way. This is just what people say about these games.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Callum writes, Jak and Daxter 2. When this came out, I remember loving it. I thought the GTA style editions were cool and the gun combat was fun. Sometime last year, I got gifted the HD re-release. I forced myself through maybe 20 minutes of gameplay before deleting it. It handles like crap. Both the diving and the combat, I assume they mean driving and the combat, have aged incredibly poorly. For all the praise Naughty Dog gets at release, I have generally found Insomniac's games have aged better, especially for the PS1 and PS2 era.
Yeah, yeah. I recently replayed this one as well. And I managed to finish it just out of fondness for the series. But I distinctly remember thinking, like, man, this is from an era where the games were kind of balanced to have you die multiple times on every single area, mm-hmm. and beating it was kind of an act of rote memorization rather than actually kind of feeling good about the way you're playing the game. So I can see that. Jak 3, if you got the HD collection, Jak 3 irons a lot of that out. It's way better on that front, but certainly wouldn't begrudge you not going on to Jak 3.
Yeah. It's nice to see a criticism of Jak and Daxter 2 that is not just about the change in tone.
Yeah. Very fair.
Yeah. Let's see. Ben, what does Christopher say?
Christopher says, The Witness. Oh my God, The Witness. I have never enjoyed and absolutely hated a game as much as this one. Don't really need to cover it here since the WAF episode did it for me. BT Dubs, did you do a WAF episode on The Witness?
We did. We don't have nice things to say, generally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I know. That's why I didn't really make a... I know that you really like the game, and I understand that is a genuine love on your part for what's happening there. And I like the parts of it that are good are incredibly good. It's the challenge stuff, and it's the philosophy stuff that doesn't work.
For it. I'm not putting you on trial or anything. Dude, don't worry about it.
I felt bad.
If you're putting him on trial, can I be called as the witness?
No, the witness is the subject. Wait, the witness. Go,
yeah. I should finish what he says. Yeah. I love the game, but I'm perfectly okay with people hating that game. Yeah. But probably what I'm going to do on this post, though, is I do have like a 6-hour video of playing it with a friend where we like do a commentary on the game and like what we really love about it.
Oh, nice.
So I might annoy people with that as a way to try and get people to like it. But
go for it. Right. Yeah, good.
Continuing with the message, but also that time challenge in the mountain spoiler. I have had a speeding up in the Hall of the Mountain King stuck in my head for like a month now, and it won't leave. If somebody asked me if I liked the game, my honest answer would be, I don't know.
I mean, you can like the stuff that leads up to the challenge without, yeah. Man, even like editing that episode, because there is so little music in the Hall of the Mountain King is already a stressful composition to like to listen to. So like just listening to that like made my heart rate rise a little bit.
It is very much an optional part of the game, probably. There, not to get into witness talk, so I'll only make one point and try and back out of this. But there are a few points in the game where it's somewhat ableist. Like there's a few puzzles that rely on you being able to like differentiate color, and that part of the game is specifically made for people who play a lot of computer games and might be competitive about it. And it, because I played through this game with one person who did not typically play video games, and so it felt like a very weird about face for the entire game to be not. It's kind of like in The Walking Dead, where there's like random sections where you need to shoot zombies. And it's like, whoa, I have not had to do this anywhere else in the game. Why am I doing this now? It's kind of like that.
What that game is best at doing is teaching you to play it. Like that stuff is stellar. You know, the way that it teaches you the mechanics when it gets difficult, hate fucky. Like it is good at teaching, but I don't think that it is great at testing. And I think that the challenge is a very particularly strong expression of that.
It can be very, it can put up walls, I guess.
While also, I mean, the spoiler aspect of that, the other kind of puzzle that you do, just mwah, chef kiss.
can you say where in the game you found that
in the desert on the designs on the right,
same
okay
cool.
All right, yeah. Let's see here. Dennis, what does Joel say?
Joel says Alien Isolation. The first few hours of that game were fantastic, except that BS room in Chapter 2. By Chapter 6, I went from loving it to, well, this is okay. By the end of the game, I was so annoyed and glad it was over. Now, whenever someone in Slack says they want to play it, I tell them to play till Chapter 6 and then just watch the highlights on YouTube.
Alien Isolation is a very... It is a test. And it is... possibly the best example of, I don't know, a game that needs editing very, very badly. And I say that, and people love that game, and I understand why they love it, but you know,
it had all the pieces of a great game. But then it's like, all right, I gotta manually turn this down to easy so I can play the game. But everything's great. Like, even it's the best like terrible experience that you've ever had.
I mean, especially if you have any affection for Alien and its aesthetic. Let's see here. And then Gwen says, I S-rank love the demo for Brutal Legend. The soundtrack, the tone, the character designs, heart eyes. They put a heart eyes emoji there. And that game is a solid D- by the time you finish it. On a revisit, my favorite game when I was a preteen was FF7. Life-changing in a lot of ways, openly defied what I thought games can or should be. 20 years on, wow, I hate literally every mechanical system it offers. I definitely understand Brutal Legend. That demo definitely catfished me, where it starts off as a fun character action beat-em-up and then turns into that weird Pikmin strategy game. You played that, didn't you, Dennis?
Yeah, I played it all the way through. It is two, different games where, like, the pitch, it's almost like they didn't know where to take it from.
Yeah.
And they were so enamored with the concept of the direction they were taking it that they didn't realize the actual, what they were doing wasn't much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll piggyback on Gwen's, not FF7, but let's say Final Fantasy 4 and 6. Basically, both of those are games that are incredibly important to me. And I still think there are aspects of them that hold up. And, you know, they are, you know, capital I important games. Looking back, especially after having seen how far not just JRPGs have come, but even at the time, like what other RPGs were doing, the mechanics feel just very simplistic to me. There's little choice for character customization or expression, things of that nature. So that is, you know, partly, basically what I'm saying is over time, my appreciation has gotten a little bit tarnished just because of, I think, getting a little bit more of a taste for even stuff that's like slightly more complex mechanically, like a, you know, something breakable like Final Fantasy VIII, or just, you know, games that have come out in the march of time that have, you know, riffed on the foundation that those have laid down. But like, you know, a foundation is still just a foundation, right? And it's hard to go back to it. Yeah. Ben, how about you?
So I think my answer is like the Assassin's Creed franchise as a whole. Okay. And it's not even like, it's like each individual game. I have like, I've just had whiplash with loving parts of it and then absolutely hating it by the end of playing it. And like, just wanting to be like, I'm never going to play a game again. And then playing another one, like Black Flag, absolutely loving that. Like pretty much all the way through and being like, oh, this is a great series. Mm-hmm. I'm back. And then like playing like Odyssey and being like, parts of this are great, but now they're doing this. This is terrible. Yeah.
So you're that is a series that just runs hot or just runs cold for you.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Much like the narrative in It Takes Two.
Yeah, all over the place. Why not? Mm-hmm. Oh man. And Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, for me, I'm going to have to say Valheim.
Okay.
Ooh. Where I think, you know, starting it and starting from the beginning on a server playing with friends, you know, my eyes were just wide. I was like, oh, this is so cool and so amazing. And you know, you heard me gushing about my experiences on the show. But the longer I spent in the world, the longer I was just pissed off that I would die in stupid ways and the amount of time tax that you had for stuff like that, and the, you know, the upgrading and stuff like that, not feeling like it really led to anything meaningful. And I think then the group that I played Valheim with, a good portion of them came over to Knockout City, and it's like, oh, I was just enjoying having a regular multiplayer group. Mm-hmm, like, yep. that's what I was enjoying.
Yep.
And having that without all the BS of like, oh, the next half hour, we're all going to be running back to my corpse, you know, is
classic MMO experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Without an actual MMO to back it up.
Right. Yeah. Was that the inspiration for the question? Was you just trying and failing to get back into Valheim?
Partially. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool,
but it's you're playing against like computer though, right? Like there's, you don't run into the issue in Valheim where you're playing against other people, is that correct? Or
yes, I mean you're obviously on a server with people, but I don't think you can play versus them.
It's not like Rust where you get ganked. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. They I mean there are, they have kind of found a weird backwards way to make it PvP. I remember seeing that there was actually like a tournament on Twitch that they put together, but it was janky AF.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you everybody. Thank you, Dennis, for putting that up. And thank you folks for answering it. If you would like to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast to watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about the things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us and that are not the reveal of more details about Elden Ring. We already did a reaction episode on Bonfireside Chat. We put that up there for everybody. It's actually available publicly if you want to go listen to it on the Patreon there. No, I've got something else that I'm excited about here, and it's related to what I mentioned before. Possibly the thing that I'm most outwardly excited about because it's an extension of something that I know. Ubisoft, at their event, they revealed that Rocksmith is coming back. There had been two games in the Rocksmith series that came out in 2010 and 2013 respectively, and they had a trickle of DLC going regularly until last year when it just kind of stopped, and when clearly they were working on developing this. They're bringing it back as Rocksmith Plus. For people who don't know, Rocksmith is the music game that you play with an actual guitar. In the old version, you could play it with a special cable that goes from quarter inch to USB. In the new one, there's going to be an app that you can use to put next to your acoustic guitar or next to an amp, and it'll analyze the tone there somehow.
Ooh, I don't trust that to work well.
I don't trust it either, but they seem to think it'll work, so maybe. I mean I've got two of the cables, so I'm good. I'm sitting on a wealth of True Tone cables here. This one's coming to PC first, and then PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, then also later on Android and iOS. We don't know what songs are going to be available, or even we don't even know if it's a game that you're going to buy, because this has been announced as a subscription service. Some people are bummed out about this, but you know, I kind of know that I'll be comfortable just paying for a year of it or doing it month to month. Like, okay, this is a month where I'm going to be doing some intensive practicing, and if I stop, I'm going to stop. Not needing to worry about buying individual DLC and just having all of the library available to me is worth it to me also, just because there's a lot. So it's going to be $14.99 per month or $99 per year. And it is going to continue being the game that emphasizes teaching you how to play real guitar. Something that I'm kind of excited about is they are introducing tablature reading into this, like tab view. Ooh. So previously it had been the note highway. Here, there's a split screen that shows you the note highway and also the tablature, which is good, because that is a more kind of a universal, you know, you can use that to actually go play songs that are not on the service. You know, you can just pull up Ultimate Guitar or whatever, which is cool. I'm real excited. I signed up for the beta. We'll see if I get in, but they say it's coming to PC this summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know this isn't going to happen, but just the idea that they would disable the existing library and sell it back to you as a streaming service is making me angry by proxy.
No, I don't think they would do that. I think that that would suck.
No, I don't think they would either, but if they did.
Yeah. I think that I can't see any reason why, because people have even cracked it. I've done custom DLC on that as well. People have cracked the old version too. I don't know what this new service is going to do to the custom DLC environment. We'll see, but I don't know. For me, I think it'll be, you know, expansive enough for my purposes, let's say.
Sure.
Yeah. Rocksmith. It's fun. Learning to play music is fun. It's good. In between having and Lumi,
we peaked in game development? Because now it's like games are coming out for the PS4. Now they're making a new Rocksmith, or like we just going backwards now.
Fine by me.
Just let it just freeze everything. Freeze everything at the ideal time. No more. Nothing moves.
Get off my lawnville.
There's something else that was revealed at the Ubisoft event as well. Dennis, what's happening with them rascally rabbids?
Yeah. In general, I feel like Ubisoft kind of ran the hottest for what I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
That with the caveat, I haven't really browsed the Nintendo stuff yet. But in partnership with Nintendo, Ubisoft is putting out a sequel to Mario x Rabbids Kingdom Battle, which is a delightful turn-based strategy game, deserves to get more levels to it, and will definitely cause me to rage. But I will play it and be happy that I'm playing it. So, you know, they showed a little bit of gameplay, you know, in a reveal trailer, new weapons coming, new moves, everything that you'd expect in a sequel. And you know, some random, there's a bad guy who does bad things that you got to stop. And that's about all the story you need, right?
Yeah. Just about.
Save a princess.
Don't be selfish. So, save a princess. Come princess? On.
Rabbit princess or regular princess?
Actually, they're both in the reveal trailer as kind of there and fine. So, no. I should check myself. It will be save a princess simple. It might not literally be save a princess.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked up on a sale Mario and Rabbids. It was like $14. It's 10 now. Like, buy it, because enough people that I trust, including you, Dennis, have said that this is good. I'm almost mm-hmm. ready to get over the presence of Rabbids to give this a shot. So
play it with a 6-year-old, changes the entire experience. That is who it is for.
6-year-old love the rabbits.
That is who the rabbits are for. Anyway, I don't understand how any game with rabbits could expect a 6-year-old to beat some of these levels, though. Oh my god!
And you're not a slouch when it comes to XCOM stuff either.
Yeah. No, I mean XCOM is maybe I have learned XCOM's particular brand of unfairness.
Right. Right.
And so I was about to say XCOM is fair. No, XCOM is unfair. It's just unfair in a predictable way.
Yeah.
And in a way I have learned to kind of work around. And that's the fun of it. I have not yet learned how to work around Mario x Rabbids unfairness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of kind of space counting that I'll get wrong.
Yeah.
Or things I think I should be able to do or whatever. But that, you know, that's, it's a different game. There are different systems, and I shouldn't get as angry. Yeah. As I do, that the systems confuse me sometimes.
Yeah, can compare them directly, hold one against the other. Yeah,
I think there's probably been more rage quits per session, and this is between me and Jen. more rage quits per session on Mario x Rabbids than any other game in the Fury household.
Oh gosh, yeah, this is coming out pretty soon too, isn't it?
Yeah, so I better update my blood pressure medication.
Oh, it's 2022, so you have at least passed the holidays. You'll be on a new deductible then. So,
mm-hmm.
And Ben, what's happening? What was revealed? For God's sake, Dottie, for fucking real, Dottie,
are
stop.
You for real? Are you for real?
Hey, okay. I had to bang a screwdriver.
What she
table.
Did that was more surprising than what she did last time.
I mean, it's not more surprising than what she did last time. She started like scratching around the power outlet really loudly. Like, Dottie.
Oh, geez.
No. You've never shown any interest in that before, honey. I'm sorry. Ben, what was revealed very tongue in cheekily at the Microsoft Bethesda demonstration expo thing?
They will release The Outer Worlds 2, but not anytime soon. The trailer said that basically the game design's not even done for it. So, mm-hmm. But even more surprising than that is what they announced is that they said it was going to be a new solar system, a new crew, and then same Outer Worlds, whatever. Mm-hmm. The thing I was surprised with that is, like, the OG game seems like it left off, like, halfway done. So I guess the DLC was what was patching that off, I guess.
I was supposed to finish it up, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of weird, I guess. I just expected the sequel to cover the same characters and
yeah,
go more into that. But, you know, at this point in time, I forget half the characters anyway, so I'm fine with it being a new story. But, yeah.
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 To
my previous gripe, we're doing The Outer Worlds 2. What do you think it should look like?
Yeah. I like the trailer was cute. you know, the trailer, the comments on trailers, you know, it's fine, just funny enough. The funniest thing about it was possibly the most expensive way to say this game is coming, but we don't have anything to show. Like, you know, other people, like other teams, you know, they kind of put up and said, like, just like a text card that says, we're hard at work at the DLC for Resident Evil Village and we'll have more to show soon. And they had like a little After Effects, you know, effect on the text there. No, they probably spent tens of thousands of dollars animating this thing to basically say the exact same thing.
There was a significant crunch that went into getting this trailer ready. Yeah.
A couple of marriages ended. Oh my feel gosh.
Bad laughing at the probable truth of that.
I mean, you know, and marriages end every day.
It's fine. Just have them play It Takes Two.
Yep. I was trying to get back around to it. Thank you for the alley-oop. yeah, that's this will be neat. I have yet to play the original one, but I thought the trailer was cute.
It's an Obsidian game, but it's not it felt like an unfinished game.
Yeah,
we don't need to gripe about games that are 2 years old, I guess. But it felt like a good start. You know, it's like, oh, this is a sweet tech demo that's like 30 hours long.
Yeah.
If the last one was unfinished and people loved it, they figure this one, the trailer actually is the game. It'll be so unfinished that there's nothing there.
I think what I'm actually feeling is just gratitude that Obsidian still is getting work. You know, that them getting bought by Microsoft just kind of means that they can continue doing that stuff. That's a studio I have affection for, and I like that they get to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Well, it's been a shorter episode, but I'm looking forward to going to bed. How do you all feel about bundling it up?
Let's stay on for like another hour and a half, maybe.
Dennis really already said buttons.
Salvage out of this.
Dennis already said buttons. So
we're past the button line.
Shit.
Thank you everybody for listening to this level number 375. We appreciate you taking the time. Wish I had any kind of like admin stuff or whatever, but we're just staying the course. Things are going good over here at Duckfeed's side. Yeah. We hope that things are going well for you. You know the things that you can do to support us. Like us on Facebook to participate in the multiplayer. That's facebook.com/ the level podcast. You can back us on Patreon. You can watch the streams that happen on the weekends. Twitch.tv/DuckfeedTV. It's all good stuff. Dennis, what's going on with Deck of Wonders?
Oh man, lots of behind the scenes stuff. I'm getting a ton of art in, and we're pushing to hopefully have that all locked to start getting production going at the end of this month.
Mm. Oh wow!
So it is coming soon.
Nice.
But yeah, no, you know, still can pre-order up on GameFound and find us there. And I would love to have people in on it and follow the Kickstarter. If you want to see the updates with new art, we do every $1,000 in post-campaign pledges that we get, we reveal a new piece of concept art. And I have been gobsmacked at how quickly we've been chewing through that. So
nice.
Thank you to everyone who has jumped on, and check out more of Lauren Brown's incredible work.
Nice.
There and elsewhere. And yeah, that's what's going on.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I've been Cole Ross. You can follow me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I've been Dennis Furia, and you can find all of that art I was talking about on Instagram at Deck of Wonders.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
Yeah. And stick around for some titles. All right, I have
some title, like you say, some pig.
I have one, and it's a joke that Ben made that honestly it took me too long to get, and I didn't want to laugh at it because I would have revealed how slow I am. It was a good joke, and I want to make sure it gets immortalized. All the surfaces of the ocean.
Oh,
that was funny when you said, when he was like, oh, plastic and water, all the surfaces of the ocean. That was good. Mm-hmm. Dark, but good. All right. Dennis, what you got?
I have two. So one is Fall Gears.
Okay.
But that is self-congratulating. I've had that in my head since I played the Royale mode. And then the other one is also from Ben. So Ben's hot this week. The best terrible experience you've ever had. Could also be shortened to the best terrible experience.
I'm going to do it just as the best terrible experience. Okay. Ben?
Well, I invested all my time in making titles and not recording titles. So here we are.
Okay. My vote is for All the Surfaces of the Ocean. Ben, Ben, do you have a disagreement on that?
I have no opinions.
Okay.
I don't get a vote since I didn't contribute anything.
No, that's never how it's worked in the past. Cool. All right. Well, take care.
Yeah. Have a good early night, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourselves.